T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, a little mac and cheese for you. That is the cute nickname that Cam
White
Newton
Cheddar
gave to
White Cheddar. Can you have a nickname with a nickname?
He seemed like he was happy and proud that that was his nickname. Would you be happy and proud if you're a first-year player in the National Football League and you come in?
Some guy that's not even going to be here longer than 6 months gives you a stupid nickname. I will tell you what. No one, it's not going to take. Like, that nickname's not going to. No one's going to be like, and then Josh McDaniels, and then mac and cheese. It's stupid.
Isn't that
terrible?
Nickname?
He gave him a terrible nickname on purpose because he's intimidated and afraid.
I tell you, he can't be afraid. Can't be intimidated, can't be afraid.
Should be.
So the one thing, I guess, that is going on at camp is that Mac Jones and Stidham and even Hoyer, because everybody's telling us Hoyer's been the best down there. Is that encouraging for all of us? No. He's been the best. Because there's no Cam Newton.
Hi, Hoyster.
And he's not going to be around for a while, so it gives guys an opportunity maybe to get some over Cam Newton. So they're doing this on First Take the other day, and they're asking the question, who are the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs? And I want you to listen to Keyshawn Johnson and his answer to this. Again, the biggest threat in the AFC for the Kansas City Chiefs, the team that went to the Super Bowl last year.
Nobody mentioned the New England Patriots, and I don't know why. Why do you not mention the greatest modern-day head coach, mind you, went out in free agency, spent a boatload of money, something they've never done before. They bring in Matt Patricia, who got hired as the defensive coordinator specialist to head coach in Detroit. We know how that worked out, but that's not his, you know, his thing is defense. He comes in, and we know he's not probably going to be getting the title, but he's going to be calling the defense. And on top of that, Cam Newton, he's as healthy as ever. When you look at him prior to COVID, his numbers were way better than they were before. I mean, after COVID. So when you start to think about that, man, how could y'all leave out New England? I don't get it.
I only took one team, Key. I took the Browns because I think they're the biggest threat. But I think, Stephen A., I think New England's a good call. They'd be up there for me.
It. Oh, my God.
Based on what?
Exactly, Max Kellerman.
We just sort of forget that Vegas game, right? Like, thinking he was great in that Vegas game.
Third game of the year? Right?
I just think he was 17 for 28, 60% completion percentage, 162 yards, touchdown pick. Quarterback rating of 73. He was great before COVID.
Yeah, but remember,
he started
Seattle?
To get exposed.
No,
listen, everything he said about
it was just a matter of time.
All of the players that they've acquired, though, I guess they had a scare yesterday at practice.
What happened?
Hunter Henry, apparently, something happened.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's okay. Oh. He's all right. He survived. But they said there was an injury and he had to leave practice.
Was he at a bar?
He's excited about Patricia coming back, too, huh?
Like yeah.
And Patricia's coming back.
Did he say Patricia's going to be calling the plays?
No, yeah.
He comes in, and we know he's not probably going to be getting the title, but he's going to be calling the defense.
He's working personnel. He's working with personnel.
Signing contracts.
So the biggest problem they have is that every time they describe the New England Patriots or the quarterback, they remember 2015. They treat Cam Newton as if it's Cam Newton from 2015. And then they make other stuff up, like Matt Patricia's going to be calling the plays and all this other stuff, so that they can make their point even more solid. They don't watch the Patriots. They don't understand. They did acquire good players. Their defense is going to be better. Their biggest problem is quarterback.
Nobody mentioned the New England Patriots, I don't know why.
Quarterback.
It's as if, like, Max, you know, had anything to him, he would have said, there's a reason why. It's because of Cam Newton.
Exactly.
Like, there is a reason why no one's mentioning the Patriots. There's a reason why, after all these signings, they're still ranked, you know, 22nd, 3rd in the league, whatever it is. There's a reason why, like, these preseason, you know, odds, whatever, don't have them making the playoffs. There's a reason why people are still ranking them as, like, the 26th or 7th best offense.
It's an important position.
With all the additions. It's because of Cam Newton. But, see, Keyshawn thinks Cam Newton is still Cam damn Newton. And still thinks he's really good. Cam Newton, a quarterback. He was great before COVID. Like, you know, like when that happened in week four, man, you know, by week 13, he just couldn't catch up. By week 16, it's not his fault. I mean, he had 10 weeks, 12 weeks of games after it, but he was too far gone. You know, it's like, so is that the excuse this year?
COVID.
Like when
COVID.
He sucks this year? Hey, he was great before COVID, and it sort of just came into this year, too. Yeah. That's why he's not playing well.
Yeah. It affects some people for life, Lou. It does.
They think he's good. Some
people he's as healthy as ever.
He's got a broken finger, for Christ's sake.
Stop playing right now.
What are you talking about?
No, this is, you know, when it comes to biggest threats, I mean, there's so many other teams that are farther ahead than the Patriots.
How about Tennessee with their latest acquisition?
I didn't even write them down. I put down Baltimore, Cleveland, Buffalo, yep. Miami, yep. Indy.
Yep.
Don't forget about Indianapolis.
Right.
I mean, another new quarterback with that offense, that running game. I mean, come on. There's this loyalty to Bill. Bill goes on his show. Hey, we got this new radio show. Bill comes on. They kiss each other's ass. There's no real tough questions there whatsoever. It's all, everybody's a brother-in-law, you know? And then sure enough, like, he has this, almost like this loyalty to Cam Newton. Like, someone who he has to protect him, stand up for him when everybody else is ripping him.
I'm not sure I understand that. And there were guys last year that went the other direction, like Rodney Harrison. By the way, did you see his role get diminished?
Rodney's?
Rodney's role is diminished now. It's not going to be a major part, I guess, of that Sunday Night Football show. They've changed his role.
Too opinionated?
At NBC. I don't know.
He was outstanding.
I don't know. That's an interesting
one. We don't know. Maybe he wanted it.
Maybe he wanted to back off his schedule. I don't know. But, yeah, they still adore and love Cam Newton. None of us are sitting here saying that Bill Belichick is still not a brilliant coach, maybe the greatest coach to ever coach in the National Football League. But the problem is, as we saw last year, Bill can only do so much. He can't go out there and play the position. So one of two things have to happen. Either Cam Newton has to become that quarterback he was in 2015, and I'm not sure physically he's capable of doing that right now, or you have a rookie quarterback who's going to go out there and just going to be unbelievable, and I'm not sure that's going to necessarily happen. Or Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer.
Learns
and I just
system.
Thought of, like, see, here's the thing. You that should be his nickname. The system. I mean, it's ironic because he doesn't know it, but he only knows it between the inside
20
the
20.
20 to 20.
What does it tell you, though?
That's his nickname.
Brian Hoyer knows the system.
Yeah, that is a good nickname for him.
What does it tell you? He gives a stupid, the hoister. There's no creativity with his nicknames. No. Like, one second, the system. Why do they call you the system? Well, because everyone thought I knew the system, and then when I got a chance to start, I only knew the system inside the 20s.
See, I'm wondering, the mac and cheese thing, is that a little knock on Kraft? Oh, he's the owner's little new pet.
See? Yeah.
Kraft mac and cheese. I like it.
See, that's better than.
Yeah. But I don't think that's what happened.
Good. Well, that's nice.
But it's a little bit, I wonder how the Bentley's working out for old Bob Kraft. This is the Bentley. Gifted a Bentley. Anybody ever gift you a Bentley?
What was the best gift I ever got from somebody I worked with?
Did they think Bob couldn't afford it? A Bentley?
So we. I don't even know. Like, if, I mean, I would say, you know, I'm not even going to go there. There's so many things I can say.
So let me get back to Hoyer. What does it tell you when Tommy Curran, good observer of the game,
friend of the
been
show.
Around for a long time, friend of the show, he's telling you that Brian Hoyer is the guy who looks the best right now down there?
Don't be surprised.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised at all. A guy, an older veteran like that, that is just tuned in to does exactly what Josh wants him to do. There's not a lot of resistance from the defense, and you're doing a lot of these plays on air, and you're just going through the motions, and you already know the answers, but there's no resistance. You're not in Kansas City. There's no circumstances whatsoever. You're free to do whatever. You probably look great.
Not in Kansas City.
No, it's true.
Kansas
City anymore.
But the system got away from him.
Yeah.
All the yellow brick roads.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's true.
The guy has been around.
He's probably the most comfortable. like you said, under center with this playbook.
Easy.
And no defenders.
He's not thinking at all.
No.
You can see those other guys are probably pausing, hitching.
Yeah.
They want to make sure they do everything right, so they're careful. He's not. He's just letting it go, you know, and he probably looks great. The timing is on point.
Right.
And again,
but it's
we're
about
not in
ceiling.
City
we know, whatever.
Right,
he has no ceiling.
Our buddy Chris Hems.
Oh, he knows quarterback.
Friend of the show. He's putting together his list of quarterbacks. He does this every year. Where did he have Cam Newton last year? Where
was 10. He was in the top 10.
He was 10 last year.
Before he was even signed.
Okay.
I think he had him in the top 10.
I'm amazed. I don't get it. He's dropped him down a little bit this year. He is number 20.
Cam Newton, number 20. That's right.
Cam Newton's still one of the 20 best quarterbacks in football for my money. I know the quarterback throwing stats might not show it. All right, I get it. It's not about the quarterback stats all the time. It's the effect you have on the football game. He's a little bit of a force of nature that way. And I think that sometimes gets a little swept under the rug when you talk about Cam Newton. I understand it wasn't all pretty last year, but I think there are some outside circumstances that you have to be realistic about with Cam Newton and break down and go, well, this led to some issues and some problems, not only because of their football team, but because of COVID and everything we've talked about. But Cam Newton still has got one of the greatest presence of all quarterbacks on the NFL football field.
What?
I'm surprised you didn't bring up. He brings great energy to practice.
That's it. He's got a great presence. He's dancing. And he energy. Looks good. He's funky hairdo every now. He's,
let's keep it 100.
It's obvious to identify him. That's what he's looking at. And listen, when this guy walks on the field, he's ginormous, he's a quarterback.
He looks it. He looks the part.
Yeah, he looks the part. No, actually, he really doesn't look the part. He looks more like a tight end now.
Yeah, he does look more like a tight end. But, you know, don't look at the statistics. Don't look at what he did last year.
Don't look at
any of
that
matters. Quarterback stats all the time. Nobody ever the effect you have on the football game.
Nobody ever talks about him throwing the football. It's always about energy he brings. It's always about his presence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Intangibles.
Yes, we know he's a fullback. Yes, we know he can affect the game, short yardage. But nobody ever talks about him throwing the football.
They want you to ignore the
throwing part of a quarterback.
Technically, he's right. Okay,
he can
do, it's more than just stats. Yes, I get it. Yeah, I'm on board.
He's a little bit of a force of nature that way.
But in the NFL, when it matters, it always comes down to a quarterback making an unbelievable play, an unbelievable third down throw, being a stud at identifying how they're trying to screw him and getting himself out of a jam. Like, that is it. You do that, you'll have a career in the NFL for a long time.
So the only one thing I would say to you that I would applaud Cam Newton for that I thought he excelled at last year is in the red zone and, you know, obviously being able to run, short yardage.
Anywhere in the field.
And if you only need 5 or 6 yards for him because he is so big and so difficult to bring down, he'll get the five or 6 yards for you. He'll find his way into the end zone.
And that's what Sims would like to focus on.
And that's what he's great at. Yeah. He's great
the
at
positives.
That. That's it.
Yeah, the positives.
The rest of it, though, Lou, and the rest of the field. And
do you Horn Sims? Does he talk more about him?
Yeah, we're going to get into it. We got a bunch more to get to with it. And I'll give you who's ahead of him on this list.
Yeah, we got to look and who's ahead and behind who's behind
him. Yeah, we'll he's that. Given this.
I want you to impact this next read with no stats affected by it. Okay, I want you to see how good you are.
Be a force of nature.
Have a presence.
Have a presence.
I have to give stats because I have to give.
I want you to give a presence.
Bring good energy.
Yeah, but bring good energy, though.
Yes.
Because the other stuff doesn't matter.
Be a leader.
Hold on, let me find
He's a little bit of a force of nature.
Let me find a hat over here.
Yeah, there you go.
Be a leader.
Oh, yeah, it looks perfect.
I got a hat.
Be a leader.
Bang.
Follow him on Twitter. Christian Fourier.
I heard you hate old people and puppies. No, just puppies. Hate puppies.
It's OMF on WEEI.
You know, maybe I'm bullish on Cam Newton compared to the rest, but I can sit here realistically and look at it and go, wait, it's a tough offense, as you've heard me talk about. The offense itself, not talented. I mean, for some reason, everybody talked about that when Tom Brady was the quarterback. But with Cam Newton, it didn't quite get accentuated. It was kind of like, screw it. You're supposed to be better. Why? It was the same cast of characters minus Julian Edelman for half the year, okay? And he doesn't know the system like Brady. So it wasn't going to be easy either way, even if he was better at the system. But then you talk about COVID and everything like that. Listen, that's real. I don't know what else to say. Everybody's got to get over that.
Chris Sims, we're not getting over it. I mean, all about COVID. I swear to God that what happens this year, they have two really good tight ends. They've got two better wide receivers than they've had in the past. And if Cam Newton struggles out there, they're going to say, well, he doesn't have Julian Edelman. Edelman retired, right? He's not playing anymore. What do you expect?
The
new receivers, it's going to take them through the calculus. It's going to take them a year to learn the system.
The calculus is tough.
But Chris Sims is wrong, okay? We mentioned it all year long on how they have the worst weapons in football. The difference, Chris, is that we watch the games. And unfortunately, I know you say you watch film, but apparently you don't. There was a distinct difference between how Tom Brady handled no weapons and Cam Newton did. So, you know, that's just it. I mean, it was like one hoppers. Again, OT hopper. That's what we call it.
Which is just going to be, we're going to shorten it to hopper.
Hopper. Yeah. So OT overthrow or one hopper. So we'll just call him hopper. So Hopper.
The Hopper, the system.
Would actually miss guys that are wide open and just throw one hops, and Josh McDaniels had to dumb down an offense.
It's a good nickname. Four. I got to give it.
You know,
a good
Brady a lot of times would pump, and the guy would keep going when you're supposed to stop and then throw the ball away. And it, you could actually see it with film that, or when he threw the ball to an empty area and he expected a guy to stop and the guy kept going. Or the guy would stop and he would throw it down the sidelines deep. So you could actually see the miscommunication when you watch the games. With Cam, you just saw, you know, inaccuracies and a dumbed down offense to the point where it started to become really simple. And that's why you saw the completion percentage where it was, because it was just one of two options. Right? It was just, and you talked about it all the time. It's just so simple.
All right, so here's Chris Sims' list. We told you Cam Newton, 10 last year, 10th best quarterback. He dropped down to 20. So apparently Chris did see some negative things. He dropped down to 20. But even that seems to be relatively high. So he's got the, he hasn't done the top 13 yet. So we start at number 14, Derek Carr.
Well, Mayfield's 13.
Oh, Baker Mayfield.
Oh, I don't have that. Baker's 13. I take it back. He's
for some reason 13. He's at 13 right now.
Derek Carr is at 14. Matt Ryan 15. Kirk Cousins 16. Joe Burrow 17.
All better.
Carson Wentz 18.
Better.
Sam Darnold 19.
Better.
Cam Newton 20.
Yep.
Now let's go behind Cam Newton. Jimmy Garoppolo 21.
So this is when we start getting into. Are we talking about like healthy? Because I didn't want Garoppolo here because of his health, but if Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy when he does play, he is better than Cam Newton.
Yes.
And the same thing with the next guy.
Ben Roethlisberger, number 22.
When he is healthy, he is better than Cam Newton.
First nine games, you saw it last year. Yeah. And he wasn't healthy and he was a mess.
Right.
And number 23, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Better than Cam Newton.
No question.
Yeah.
He is better than Cam Newton. Taysom Hill is number 24.
They're the same player.
Better than Cam Newton.
Yeah. I'll take Taysom Hill.
No, I would take Taysom Hill.
Keep going. Because number 30
I think he actually runs better than Cam Newton. You know, and we talk about percentage and where he was. I mean, he didn't throw many balls, but he was at 73% completion percentage. He's better than Cam Newton. Go.
Jameis Winston, 25. Daniel Jones, 26.
Better.
Zach Wilson, 27.
Will be better.
Trevor Lawrence, 28.
Already better.
Andy Dalton, 29.
Better.
Mac Jones, 30.
Better.
Jared Goff, 31.
Stop. Better. Stop. What is White Cheddar doing at number 30? Again, a better nickname than Mac and Cheese. That is the same Mac and Cheese. That is the same Mac Jones that plays for the Patriots, right?
Yeah, better.
Same one, so a guy that's never taken a snap in a professional football game is ranked higher than a guy that played in the Super Bowl.
Jared Goff.
A quarterback that's been in the league forever.
Teddy Bridgewater.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Everybody's got to get over that.
True Lock, 33.
What are we doing with Mac Jones?
Tua, 34. Tyrod Taylor, 35. Marcus Mariota, 36.
Better.
Kellen Mond, 37.
Case Keenum.
I think I found where Cam belongs. 36. In front of Kellen Mond.
Okay.
Trey Lance, number 38. Justin Fields.
Better.
39.
Better.
Poor Case
Keenum. Okay, I go back.
Case Keenum.
Okay, so I think that Kellen Mond should be 40 and Cam should be 39.
Oh.
That's what I think he should be.
What 20. Is there like a?
I think you're a little negative.
You know, Tommy Curran does his little top 50 Patriots of all time, that whole thing. He's getting that thing ready.
Where's Cam
to go ranked? Again? And it's funny because he has a whole criteria. He's like three major criteria, and he lists them out. That's coming out soon. I don't want to give anything
teaser
away.
Teaser. You don't want to burn that tease either. You don't want to do a spoiler alert. You seem to be high on spoiler alert.
I'm a major
it's
part
the
of that.
Kid, Tang Wang,
we may get to the spoiler
kid.
Alert. Go ahead.
So, but it is funny because I want to know what it is. Like, what are you basing it on? Like, because you could, if you just tell me what your criteria is,
film.
I'll say, okay, what film?
He watches film more than anyone.
Alabama film?
I don't know.
Then why isn't Tua? Why isn't Tua, who's actually taken snaps in a professional football game, higher than Mac Jones?
Played over Mac Jones in college.
And beat him out, and then Mac Jones was sitting behind Tua, actually sitting behind Jalen Hurts, sitting behind Tua.
He's bullish on that.
And finally, the only reason why he played is because Tua basically did a Gordon Hayward.
He's bullish on White Cheddar.
I swear to God.
I'm bullish on Cam Newton.
I got a new nickname for Mac Jones. Here's another one.
What's that?
Okay, Peach Fuzz.
Peach fuzz, yeah.
That's
okay.
Good.
Because he's like a baby. He doesn't have facial hair. He's got peach fuzz.
It's called body fat. A baby fat?
Baby fat. There's another one.
He could not grow a beard. There's no question.
It would be all spotted.
Be like,
you know?
B-fat.
So, B-rabbit. So let me try to get a little deeper into Cam Newton and why Chris Sims has him at number 20. Because he wants us all to focus on the positives. The thing that people like us avoid, the positives of Cam Newton.
If we're going to talk about the work that has to be done in the pass game, too, and the negatives there, it's like you've heard me say, too, then we got to start talking about some of the positives in the other areas that people try to avoid the conversations. Yeah. As in, like, he's one of the best running quarterbacks in football still. And his skill set running the football is one of the things that made that not very talented offense somewhat of a threat in certain weeks. And it certainly made him one of the best running offenses in football. And again, I know it's going to be 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions passing. Well, how does the stat line sound when you add 12 rushing touchdowns to that? And it's 20-10 now, right? And he's second on the team in rushing.
592 yards rushing.
You add those stats to his passing numbers, right? And then you could also give the benefit of the doubt to some of these other numbers these other running backs have on their football team and go, well, a lot of those yards, you know why? I mean, they're good, and I'm not trying to take it away, but it's the Cam Newton effect, too. Cam Newton's effect on the overall running game was a big part of New England's success when they were successful on that side of the football.
Okay, see, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong, but to call him one of the best running quarterbacks in the league, he runs well, and we already brought it up. For a quarterback, and in the red zone, because of the threat of the pass,
he's 250
short
pounds,
pass, yeah. They don't worry about the long pass in the short distance situation. He's really effective. That's the best thing he does. But overall, would you call him a great running quarterback?
No. He's a power back.
Right.
He's quarterback power, quarterback lead power. I mean, that's
the kid out
yards.
In Arizona or your Lamar Jackson
so
or people
many
like that.
That are
all
better
running.
Runners than him.
Taysom Hill. They run better.
Yeah. It's the Cam Newton effect, too.
I don't know what that is. I don't like the quarterback. I don't care about his presence. I don't care about his energy. I don't care about his leadership.
What about his nicknames?
I don't care about his nicknames. I don't care about anything.
They ain't never seen this Cam.
I don't like the quarterback. I don't think he can play the position. That's all. And I mean, I would just, you know, he can't throw the football. You know, and you could say the same thing about Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson is a better runner than Cam Newton.
Easily.
And the reason why Lamar Jackson's teams can't win in the postseason is because he can't throw the football. And I still think he throws the football better than Cam Newton.
Yeah, every quarterback in the AFC East is a better runner than him.
Yes.
Every single one.
So let me go give you one
even
more.
Even the kid out in New York with the Jets. What's his face?
I don't know
Wilson.
If Tua is.
Yeah.
He is.
I don't know if he is.
A year, what, 2 years healthy?
I don't know if he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, I guess.
Remember, Tua, the knock on Tua was that he actually thought he was a lot faster than he was and thinks he can outrun guys, and he couldn't. I don't think he's a runner. He's mobile, but he can't run.
I want to give you one more cut from Chris Sims, because I don't ever remember us after a Patriots game, even when we were okay with what Cam Newton did, that we sat here and said, he was perfect in this game. This is Chris Sims again.
Go back and watch the first 3 games when he was in rhythm and the offense had a flow and everything like that. You saw a different guy than what came back after COVID, where he really struggled at first, but then found his way. And I would also sit there and go through some games and you're going to go, wait, like I did when you go through the Jets or the Ravens or some other games that, yeah, maybe they won or maybe even they lost, like the Bills game that was close. He plays the game perfect, like Amon. He doesn't make one mistake
what?
In the game.
Other than fumble.
I can watch those films of those games, maybe other than the Jets game where I go, ooh, he could have been maybe a little more aggressive on a few throws. Ooh. But for the most part, some of these games I go, he literally could not have played more perfect. Hmm. There was not one more guy open than what was there. He made that than what was there happen, plus not making big mistakes. They had no room for error, this football team. And that's where I defend him.
Perfect. Does anybody remember perfection last year?
Other than the fumble against Buffalo.
But just start from the beginning. The first 3 games, Miami had never seen them.
They ran the ball.
Miami had never seen them, though.
Correct.
Perfect opportunity to have your best game. The second game, you play against Seattle on the road. You break records. Julian Edelman.
Awful secondary.
The worst secondary almost in the history of the Seattle Seahawks, maybe the NFL.
Second worst, the New York Jets.
Third game,
you get 2 games against
you're playing
them.
Against a team that had 2 games of film on you, knew exactly how to stop you, and go look at the first 4 series. They did not win that game because of Cam Newton.
They forget.
They won it because
Vegas
of the
game.
Oakland, the damn Las Vegas Raiders were so stupid.
Yep.
They forget about that Raiders game. Like, just before COVID, he was great. No. Mm-mm. No, he sucked
in that game.
Like you said, Miami had no clue what to do.
Surprised everybody.
That was probably the most perfect game from Cam Newton. He didn't throw a touchdown, but he ran for a couple, I believe.
He plays the game perfect.
But the Seattle game, we kind of started getting an idea of like, he threw for 300 and whatever it was, almost 400 yards. But it was like 5 weeks in a row of guys throwing for 400 yards against him.
Everybody threw
and
that much.
Vegas, he got exposed. The Baltimore game, he was 13 for 17 for 118 yards.
It's pretty good.
And he rushed twice, I think, for 11 times for 21 yards. So it wasn't like he really ran great in that game either.
Perfect.
But I guess that's perfect. 13 for 17 perfect. For 100 yards.
Yeah.
But I have no clue. This guy,
they make it up.
Watching film.
They make it up.
And he was perfect. Didn't he say after COVID, then it took him a while, but then he got it right or something?
He got worse.
He used the Jets. He used Baltimore your stats.
He got worse.
Yeah, he literally could not have played more perfect.
He wasn't running the ball. It wasn't running effectively as the season progressed on. Maybe he was tired. I don't know. When he calls him perfect, it's laughable, guys. It really is laughable.
They beat Arizona. He was 9 for 18 for 84 yards and 2 picks, and they won that game. You know, it's like it was just pathetic. The Rams 9 for 16 and a pick. You know, and he says like as the season went on, 49ers? He started playing better. Like he was worse. I still say if this team had 5 more games to play, they would have gone 1-4, 0-5. That team got worse, including him.
Yep.
Wasn't like he just after 5 weeks of post COVID, it clicked.
Yeah. And their awful. And their run defense was falling apart too. So
good games against the Jets in Seattle.
Perfect.
Tippy cap.
He called them. Perfect. That's what he said.
He's a little bit of a force of nature that way.
Okay. Oh. This hour sponsored by McFarlane Energy, South Shore Heating and Cooling's AC Incentives. We'll get back to the Bruins and Tuukka Rask. Tuukka talked today, and if you have not heard it, it's pretty remarkable. He gives you a complete rundown of everything he faced physically and where he's going from here. We get to all of that and more coming up next right here on OMF.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier, back to OMF on EEI. This hour of OMF is presented spoiler-free, unless, of course, Christian Fourier is talking, in which case you may want to block your ears if you're currently watching a hit TV show that has surprise elements you don't want revealed yet. Thanks, enjoy the show, and remember, Fourier is a dick.
Wow. It's he taking shots at you right there.
Wow, he was mad at me.
Why?
He was mad at me because, let's just bring everybody up to speed here.
Yesterday,
Gary Tengway, our good friend, tweeted out, paraphrasing here, hey, listen, everybody. I got an episode and a half left of The Mayor of Easttown, the show that everybody's been talking about. Nobody knows who done it, that whole thing. So he tweets this out. Oh, I can't wait to find out who did it.
I still have no idea who did it.
Still have no idea who did it. And I just tweeted back to him, it's the kid.
You guys suck.
So Fitzy, still so funny to me. It's so funny. So he was obviously pissed. Because, why are you ruining it?
He hadn't watched it either.
No. Well, Fitzy is like the defender of the surprise.
He liked the way he went about it.
And remember, Fourier is a dick.
Yeah, but shame on him, though.
Shame on Tengway.
Well, you know people on Twitter are going to like respond.
Yes.
Obviously, Tengway, if you send that out, you have to finish the show without looking at your notifications. Because you know everyone's doing what you did.
Correct. Yes.
Everyone
it was
had
too easy.
Yeah,
it's like he
I saw
put
the
it
people
on a
doing the
me.
Exact same thing you did. I thought it was funny because it came from you.
But there's one thing: if you're watching the show on Sunday night on HBO and it's episode 6, and you tweet that out, oh my god! Now they're really taking a twist. I don't know what's going on or what's going to happen because everybody else, nobody has seen episode 7, but everybody's seen it by now. Well, they're through the 7 episodes. That was 2 weeks ago.
I know. But it's always like what is like the window? You know what I mean? If it came out episode 7 just came out, like, okay, do you have to give it like a month, like before you give the spoiler? What was that one great movie? It was like Bruce Willis. Remember?
Sixth Sense.
That's like someone be like, can't wait to go see The Sixth Sense. I heard this movie is great. And you like tweet back and said, actually, Bruce Willis is dead.
Yeah, he's a ghost.
You would ruin the whole thing, right? You know what I mean? Or even like the other one there with, I forget what it was. The guy was like a psycho. And next thing you know, he found out that he was actually the guy that he wasn't joking. It was like, man, we were playing. You and I, it was great. We're back and forth. Well,
Scream?
No. What is it? No. God, I can't. See, oh, that great actor. Okay. He was in American History X.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
And he was like bipolar. Check out the text line, people. And he was like, whatever. You had like different split personalities, and he killed like the priest.
Yeah, it's from the '80s.
Yeah, he killed like the priest, and they're like, oh man, show. I just blacked out. You know, it was me, but actually, it turns out that it was actually him all the time. He's just a psycho.
Fight Club. That's
the
plot of Fight Club.
No, it's not Fight Club.
No,
God
it's not.
Dang.
No, that wasn't Fight Club.
God dang it!
No.
All right,
it's going to hit you when you're driving home.
I know. Right, so anyway, so Fitz is pissed off because what?
He stuttered. Go ahead.
Oh no! It's
Yeah, I know.
It's not Richard Gere's in it.
Yeah, Richard Gere and not Billy Bob. The other guy. Yeah. Whatever. He's American History X. He's Jack.
This is a terrible.
All right, go ahead. Sorry, it's a bad segment. Go ahead. Move on.
I'm going to find out.
So. Why is Fitzy defending Tengway? Tengway should not do that. I'm sorry. When the episode is done and everybody has watched the whole thing, we've gone through 7 episodes. Too late. Too late, Gary. You don't do that.
Yeah,
you sit there and you...
Yes.
Yeah.
Primal Fear.
Damn it.
Primal Fear.
Yes.
Yeah. No. It's all his fault. So I'm not going to sit there and be blamed for ruining the
ending of
this show.
You were being a dick, but you were doing it.
I was doing it on purpose.
On purpose. Because, Gary, you don't do that.
Here's the thing. I did exactly what Gary wanted me to do.
Edward Norton. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Yes.
Gary wanted someone to do that.
Of course he did.
So on his weekend show, he could be like, how about this dick move by Fojay?
But you blamed Lou for it.
Well, because I said it during the break, I laughed. Yes, I said 2 weeks back into him as the kid. Before he's like, 2 minutes later, he goes, I did it.
Hold on, when has he ever blamed himself? It's either Lou or it's me. It's never him. He never blames himself.
I'm like Cam Newton. You know, when I came back from break, you guys has changed the way the way the show is run.
That's right, we did.
You guys didn't even tell
terminology,
me. 5-minute break, next thing you know, it's like it's FMG.
Different contest. We got all sorts of
different
stuff.
Code name.
Everything is different. All right, so there you go. So you pissed off Fitzy, you pissed off Tengway, and they'll get
Fitzy's
you back.
One of those guys.
They'll get you back over the weekend.
Fitzy's like the defender of like the movie
mankind,
culture.
Mankind.
No, movie culture, like history of movies. Like he's going to defend it. Like Rosebud, you don't really understand what the meaning of Rosebud is. I went to NYU. I'm very smart. I know all the stuff about movies.
Fitzy, you bumbling drunk fool.
Fitzy will be joining us on Monday, by the way. So we can have it out then.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We can bring that back up again, and we'll have that debate. I mean, it's a stupid debate. I'm sorry. You just don't, Gary, do that. Keep it to yourself, Gary.
I had never seen the movie 7, and all my friends are like, you have to watch it. It's got such
it's
a great
in the
ending.
Box.
And I'm like, fine. So I stayed up way later than I should have, and right as we're about to get to that scene, one of my buddies who just walked in and goes, hey, isn't it the chick's wife and head in the box? I'm like, I'm going to bed. Thank you.
Well, how about those idiots? You see them on Twitter at night, and they're watching a game late. So they're like an hour or an hour and a half behind the game, and they admit that they're watching the game late, but they're tweeting out to the rest of the public that's watching the freaking game live.
You're asking
saying,
for
oh,
it.
My God, you're asking for it.
I tell you what, though. You know,
exactly.
You know what I do like to do, though? Sometimes I purposely don't watch the game, and then I read everything about the game. Like, I read the, all the analysis, I read the columns, I go through all of it, and then I watch it.
Yeah, sometimes
Chris Sims,
you need to do that.
That's what Chris Sims does.
I do.
No, but it helps you watch it differently. It's good sometimes.
I do find that it's interesting to go in reverse.
Yes.
Just try it one time.
Do you challenge those people? Oh, I thought you were doing it because you just want to avoid the commercials. Because you can watch a game a lot quicker if you avoid the commercials.
I'll watch it. I won't watch it on purpose. And then I'll read and I'll go, okay, well, this is coming up. I wonder. And then when it happens, I'm like,
he did whoop Joe Louis's ass.
Joe Louis, 85 years old.
Tuukka Rask talk today.
Tuukka.
We know everything now. Oh, so this is Tuukka as he's asked the question.
What?
Huh?
Hold on.
Primal Fear. Ed Norton.
So Tuukka Rask did come out today.
And Bruce Willis.
He addressed the media because he wouldn't do it after the game, and I don't blame him. Right after the game, you're sitting there, you're disappointed, you don't want to sit there and get into it. But today it was exit interviews, right?
Mm.
And they were doing the little Zoom stuff with the media, and so he was asked the obvious question.
Coach, I was just going to ask if you could give us an indication.
Nope. Hold on.
Nope, that's Coach. That's Bruce. Okay. That's Bruce Cassidy. We're going to get the Tuukka Rask here in a minute. He can give us all the answers. Then we can get pissed at Coach Bruce
Cassidy.
Well,
can you tell us what was bothering you and what you have on store for the summer if you need surgery?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I have a torn labrum in my hip. Probably going to do surgery. I'm going to do surgery. I just don't know what the exact date is, probably within a month. Start the recovery process, and then we'll see what the future holds after that. Hopefully recovery goes well, and I'd be ready to play hockey at some point next year. You know, we'll probably be looking at January or February return to hockey. So that's kind of the plan, and hopefully it works out.
Right. Hopefully recovery
labrum
goes well.
Surgery.
And it works out. But when you hear something like that, and then he went into a lot more detail and said that he actually got it back last year. The original injury was last year.
I want to hear that from him first before we dive into it. This is Tuukka talking about the labrum, whether he could play with it, and what the real issue was.
It was hard because, you know, I had it all year. So, you know, we got to manage my workload really well during the season, you know, so you don't have to play a lot of games in a row. And then obviously in the playoffs, you play every other night. It's harder, but it never got to a point where I can play. You know, the reason why I missed time during the season was because, you know, I was compensating that hip injury with my other muscles, and then my back seized up, and I could barely walk for a week over there. So that's, you know, why I missed the time. And then, like, the hip itself was never the issue. It just locks up on me every once in a while, and that's why you see me, you know, kind of limping out there. But yeah, it was obviously, it's not easy to play with the hip.
Oh, Jesus.
A labral tear as you're rolling, but no.
The more I hear from him today, the more I wonder, what were they thinking to put him out in Game 5 or Game 6? So we saw their routine during the regular season where they gave him a lot of downtime. They actually brought him back, and he was out after the first period. And
six shots.
And he tells you he's compensating for it, so it's other parts of his body that he's having an issue with. So they managed it through the regular season, but did anybody think in that organization or Bruce Cassidy that you could manage it when you're playing games every other night?
No.
And he's your sole goaltender, you're wheeling him out every
That's
other night?
That's my biggest
night?
Problem with this. Like, more I hear that right now, the more I look to Bruce Cassidy and say, seriously? Like, really? You thought this guy was good to go even in Game 5, let alone Game 6? Like, you hit on it. Like, so it was like early March, he was out. He missed like 5 weeks. I guess if you want to count like a one start, one period out of the game. But still, it was like 5 weeks, 6 weeks total. And then he comes back, and it's like basically alternating with Swayman. Then Halak is in the mix. They give him two starts down the stretch. So you pretty much, you know, go like three goalie rotation for the last week or so. And, you know, knowing that when you get to the playoffs, you got this guy, and it's like, I got to play him every day. So the workload is through the roof, playing him every other night. You had the occasional two nights off straight, and it was obvious what you got out of him. You got 9.5 games out of him. That's what you got out of him, 9.5 games. And you tried, you know, the 10th game being the one he came out, and then you tried to play him in the 11th game, knowing that the workload was probably just too much. Maybe the guy just needed 4 or 5 days off. You got to go. To me, it's like Tuukka Rask is a great goaltender. This isn't like he sucks and can't win the big game. I don't feel that way. Okay, as a matter of fact, he tried to gut through it and play it, so you give him credit for that. This was a head coach looking at it saying, I got to give you time. This workload is too much. We didn't do this for you during the regular season. Now, all of a sudden, the playoffs, I'm asking you to do this? No, I got to sit you. And we're just going to go with Swayman. We got confidence in him? Maybe he doesn't have any confidence in him. I have no idea. But if he can get us through the series, okay, then we'll put you back in there because we're going to give you 4 or 5 days off to get ready for Tampa. But there was no managing it at all, knowing what he dealt with. Knowing what he was going through,
yeah, but they, I would say that they already had a determined pattern of how he was feeling, what he couldn't handle, how quickly he could recover. So I think with that analysis and that history, I think it made it easier for them to make a decision. Like, hey, for the whole season, this is how I've been feeling. You guys know it. We've had it under control. I will let you know when I need a break.
They didn't
game
have it under
five,
control, though.
Game 5 caught up to him. Game 5 was just, okay, an exception to the rule, the otherwise, you know, understood rule of how we was feeling. Hey, it caught me. Well, great. Well, now I have a chance to kind of feel better, and now I'm telling you I'm good.
So I almost think in retrospect that, forget about Game 6, they probably should have realized by Game 5 maybe there were some issues there at a 2-2 series, looking at how they limited his exposure during the regular season, and in Game 5, came out with Swayman with the idea they were going to go back to Tuukka Rask in the very next game, but they were going to give him an extra couple days. So he was going to have some time off. That would have made far more sense, but it tells me that they, like the Patriots this last year, who had no confidence in Jarrett Stidham, even though they kept on throwing Cam Newton, said he was gave them the best shot of winning. And it's a different situation with an injury here. I get the feeling they have no confidence in Jeremy Swayman. And I don't get it based on what we've all seen.
See, I don't
see what they're seeing.
I find that hard to believe because when it came to Stidham, what did we keep saying? We kept saying, well, listen, you know, we've seen him in fourth quarters, whatever, but Bill sees him every day at practice. So what Bill sees every day, he's had more eyes on him than we, the public, have. When it came to Swayman, we saw 10 games from this guy with a .945 save percentage. We saw him play. It was kind of like watching Jimmy Garoppolo play for a game and a half. We saw what it looked like. You know, so we knew what he could do. And I just, it's even more stubborn in my mind. Maybe that's the word. I don't even know. To put him back out there for game six. When you know, like you said, the labrum, he played through it. He managed it. But by compensating for the labrum, his back would seize up on him. And then every once in a while, the hip would lock up on him. That's why you saw me limp around. This is what we're talking about. A guy that you thought could go out in game six and steal you a game on the road to force a game seven. I don't think he was capable of playing at a high level, given what we know he's dealing with. He just wasn't capable of giving you the game that you needed. And we don't know if the other kid was, but it was a better chance because he was at least healthy.
See, I go back to, I think all of us, under the circumstances, based on the relationship that exists between head coach and player, we would all make the same decision. I would have started him. I would, but I obviously would have made sure, like, listen, we have a grown-up conversation. And I'm obviously going to make sure I'm okay with him finishing the game. But he had played the whole season hurt. So it wasn't like he was like the pain was new or the circumstances of his body like surprised him and he didn't know how to act or didn't know how to counter it. So why not start him?
But they knew this was all leading to surgery anyway. And
they knew that since the beginning of the season.
But they managed it different during the regular season. So you're right, Christian. If there were time off, if they could have a week off or 2 weeks off in between these games during the playoffs and the schedule allowed it, you could probably continue to play him as your number, as your starter, every game. The problem is you're playing every other night, didn't do that during the regular
season.
Bruce
Cassidy should have pulled the Robin Williams, just like in Good Will Hunting. Should have pulled him in the room and said, it's not your fault.
Yep.
And then Tuca looked at him and said, Tuca, it's not your fault. And give him a big hug. You know what I mean? Tuca, it's not your fault. And Tuca would have said, Bruce, get off of me. No, Tuca,
don't you do it.
It's not your fault.
Don't you do it, Bruce.
It's not your fault. It's your hip's fault.
Okay.
It's not your fault. And they should have pulled his ass.
Start seeming.
Because he should have known that he pushed it. And we said before, there was no goddamn way that guy was going to play 24 games in the postseason, which is probably what it would have took roughly, to win 16 games. So there was going to have to be a break, and he couldn't recognize when that break should have happened.
That is ultimately, I want to give Bruce Cassidy some truth serum. And, you know, if the players are going to talk and admit all their issues.
Let's call him Grady Little.
And then did he talk today? He didn't talk today, did he?
I don't think so. No, just the players.
So it would be interesting to see what Cassidy says now that the media knows a lot more about the injury.
No, but you really got to hammer him. Okay, what made you believe that that Tuukka Rask was the right man for that job? And you can't just say it's his net. That can't be it.
He's my goalie,
and it's his net. You can't say that. Like, what went into it? Like, explain to me, why did you trust him, Bruce?
Yeah, when he says he...
Because we, at game five, we thought he was Dunsky.
Yeah, right? when he says, you know, he's the guy or whatever. It's his net. We understand that when he's 100% healthy, there's no question he's the goaltender. Nobody else is going to take that spot. But now we know that the circumstances were much different. They were really managing this through an entire regular season. How many games did he play? 24?
Yeah.
Something like that? They were managing it. But you couldn't manage it in the playoffs the way you did in the regular season. And it's not like it was going to get better. No, they knew eventually they were going to get the surgery. That's the only way it can be fixed. And that's where we are right now. He couldn't do it, and I feel bad for him because I think he probably tried to push it a little bit, mainly because the perception about him is usually he quits. And that's how the public views it. I don't think it's fair, but I think that's what they think.
Game six, when we walked out, skated off the ice, we said, you know, is this the last game for Tuukka? And I remember we were talking about it. I said, well, you got to tell me what the injury is. And now I think the injury is to the point where he's going to miss so much time that I don't think there's any question in my mind that he's coming back here. You know, because if he's not going to be ready, as he put it, in January or even February, you're not paying this guy $7 million. You're paying this guy $3 million. You know, and you're sitting there saying, and even that, maybe even less. You know, what would we pay you for a full season? Would we pay you six? Okay, well, $3 million, maybe half the season. That's what we're going to get you for. So now I think he comes back. Now I think he rehabs for you, and he's down. And in January or February, I think you bring back Swayman. You bring back Halak or a Halak veteran type. And you plan on having Tuca back in February or so. But I think now he comes back.
I think there's no question.
Cheap money.
Plus, you know, he's a hockey player, and we'll hear from the hockey players and all of them.
And they're not good negotiators.
They're sitting there going, no, we love the Bruins. We love the Bruins. And by the way,
Tuca, I'm not playing anywhere else.
And by the way, it's not about the
terrible
money. We don't need money. We're hockey
These guys,
players.
I love them.
We're hockey players. We get free beer wherever we go, any bar, any restaurant. We don't need the money. But you're right. He has already said it. His family's here. His kids are here. He wants to live here. He's not going anywhere. And what team would sign him up right now, knowing they may only get him for a couple of months for next season?
Right.
So Tuukka Rask is back. What about some of the other guys? We will get to all of that coming up in the final hour. It's Friday, big fella. You got one more hour to go, and then the weekend right here on OMF.